A recent study put out by the Eau Claire Area Economic Development Corporation, the Department of Workforce Development, and a long list of other partners from the world of business and education claims that there is a regional skills gap in western Wisconsin. The report, titled Narrowing the Skills Gap, a Regional Workforce Initiative, lays out a number of key findings and follows up with recommendations and action plans to reduce this gap and in the process, hopefully get more people working in industries that are desperate for skilled workers, eventually strengthening the local economy. Today I'm joined by three members of some of the stakeholder groups in this study to chat about it. This is The West Side. I'm Rich Kramer, and joining me in studio are Brian Dowden and Scott Hodek. Brian is the Executive Director of the Eau Claire Area Economic Development Corporation. Good morning, Brian. Welcome to The West Side.
Good morning, and thanks for having us.
Our pleasure. Also joining us in studio is Scott Hodek, and Scott is a regional economist for the State Department of Workforce Development based in Eau Claire. Scott, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you, and good morning to you, Rich.
Good morning. And joining us by phone is Patty Chambers. Patty is the Vice President of Human Resources at Wisconsin Credit Union and a member of the Chippewa Valley Society for Human Resources Management. That is a mouthful. Patty, thanks so much for joining us, and welcome to The West Side.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
And listeners, we'd like to hear from you. What are your thoughts on this issue? Do you see examples of a regional skills gap? Are you an employer who's having some trouble filling some spots, or are you unemployed and having trouble finding a job in your chosen career path? Give us a call and let us know. Tell us your story. 800-228-5615, the number again. 1-800-228-5615. And Brian, I'm going to start with you. And I guess the overall kind of basic question that I've got is, why is this important enough to warrant a study like this?
Well, it's really about growing our area economy, making sure that area residents that are very talented actually have the skill sets to be aligned with opportunities in the future. So during our business retention calls, we in the city and area EDCs visit over 200 companies. And what we started hearing consistently is certain types of occupations were having a challenge filling the positions and or recruiting to the marketplace. So our board in 2011 really started looking at what steps we should take to try to help address that as a long-term economic development strategy. Long-term goals are really to make sure that better information is available to individuals in the community on future labor trends and making sure that they're making informed decisions on educational choices.
Mm-hmm. We'll get into that. That's part of the action plan and some of the key findings as well. Scott Hodek, I want to ask you, as a regional economist for the DWD, for the Greater Statewide Agency, is there anything unique about this area that might kind of lend itself to having a skills gap like this?
Well, I'd say there's a lot unique about this area, but
right.
Just okay. In general, I like it here. But, you know, I would say that some of the issues would be manufacturing, healthcare. We're heavy in both of those.
Mm-hmm.
So even though, you know, we probably have maybe a greater concentration of some of those jobs than other regions, I think everywhere we're seeing these skills gap issues.
Okay. And Patty Chambers, I want to ask you, how long has this study been in the works? How long has this whole thing been pieced together?
Been going on. Brian might be better able to answer that. I've been involved in it over the past, a little more than a year.
Okay, more than a year on Patty's part. How long has the nuts and bolts been going?
We actually started working on this in mid-2011 on the overall structure and the methodology of how to get participation.
And all of this is based on those business calls
Business calls, but also one of the methodology is we did focus groups with over 30 employers by different industry sectors. We tried to implement a regional labor survey. We tried to be too aggressive on the type of content we were asking employers. But then we had a steering committee of over 25 people from workforce development, education, business, senior leadership, HR, union representative, K-12, nonprofits, mm-hmm. and really brought them all together to really have the dialogue across all the silos that are involved in workforce development, whether that's business, whether that's schools, whether that's workforce development agencies or nonprofits, mm-hmm. and really break down the barriers.
A reminder to the listeners, we are talking about a regional skills gap as cited in a study called Narrowing the Skills Gap, Narrowing the Skills Gap, help me out with the...
A Regional Workforce Initiative.
That's right. I don't have it right in front of me. I'm gathering the paper as we speak. The number to call in with your questions or comments for any of our guests, 1-800-228-5615. That number again, 1-800-228-5615. You can also comment on our Westside Facebook page. And so we hear the term skills gap a lot, Scott Hodak, and some might think it's a kind of a politically loaded term or whatever, but what is a skills gap? I mean, if we can define it for our listeners.
Okay, sure. It's a situation in which you have, say, certain occupations that employers really need to, I mean, there's demand for them and they're having difficulty filling them. At the same time, you have people looking for work, but they don't have the exact, you know, right skills for that position. And so you have a gap there. Now, what I'll say about, you know, about the skills gap in general is you do hear that there's some controversy involved. Mm-hmm. The truth is it's not a concern about whether a skills gap exists. It's the magnitude of the impact that the skills gap has on, you know, unemployment rates, things like that.
Sure.
In any developed economy, you will have a skills gap just because, you know, there's not perfect education, there's not perfect anything.
Right.
So until they can download skills directly into your mind and plug you right into a job that day, there in a developed economy, there will always be a skills gap. So
I'd like to go ahead, Scott. Finish, please.
Oh, sure.
Then I have a comment.
I think Patty wants to jump in. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, anyway, yeah, what I was going to say is so you know that there's a skills gap out there, and the data sometimes masks this, you know, because you see how many, you know, some of the occupations you'll see just a ton of growth and some you won't necessarily, but you're still having a lot of trouble filling those. And those are usually these in-demand occupations are high wage. I mean, these are good jobs. So getting people together with these jobs helps everyone.
And from the human resources perspective, Patty, what's your comment?
Well, it's directly related to exactly what Scott was just speaking to. There was a task force of a smaller group of people involved in the research and came into reviewing all of the data and all of the focus group information and developed what's called workforce readiness. And to have an individual be workforce ready, there are three different areas that we identified. People need to have some basic skills is one area. Mm-hmm. Basic skills is defined as, you know, basic English, writing skills, strong math skills, strong reading comprehension, and being comfortable and competent using technology. The other two areas are more applied skills, you know, applying these basic skills, problem solving, maintaining professional behavior in the workplace, mm-hmm. Being able to have creative thinking, customer service skills, and then we also have some competencies as far as maintaining more, having ownership and initiative in your position of work, mm-hmm. bringing a positive attitude, being dependable, being adaptable. So those three areas tap into what we call workforce readiness. And one thing that came to mind as Scott was speaking is you mentioned, you know, developed economy, society. Technology is changing minute by minute. And what that means to the workforce is the tools that people need to perform in their positions and, you know, become comfortable and competent and excel. They also need to be able to retain that knowledge as they're working with technology and also be responsive to change because there's a lot of things happening at quite a bit faster speed mm-hmm. than it was in years past and not even that far years past, but even just recently. And, you know, we need to be able to support people to be able to come into the workforce and also be able to keep up and dig in, and, you know, the formal long-term training programs aren't always available.
Right. Brian Downer?
And I think the key thing why it's unique in our market is we have over 74% of our employers are under 20 employees. So when you look at always need to upgrade skill sets, in many areas with larger employers, they're able to have in-house training programs to help advance that. But because of our economy and our local employers, we really have to rely more and more on the educational institutions, the workforce development agencies, as well as the individuals to upgrade their skills as we go through that technology change.
I've got one question before we get into the meat of the study, but we do have a caller, so we're going to go straight to the phones right now. Tim in Eau Claire, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Well, I think part of the issue might be that it seems like at least the university in Eau Claire is teaching in a bubble. What I mean by that is I had a friend who went to school there for a geography degree, and part of their requirement is they had to take one or two ArcGIS classes. ArcGIS is a geography information systems class.
Mm-hmm.
It's a program that is pretty much the industry standard. The main problem with that is when she graduated with that degree, every place that was looking for a geographer required 2 or 3 years of ArcGIS experience, not the 1 or 2 semesters that the university was offering. I mean, they don't really offer much more than that.
Sure.
So it's a example of the school system not being in touch with what the actual reality of the workforce is. I'm currently enrolled at Stout, which has a kind of a different approach towards it, where they tend to look, what does industry want?
Mm.
Okay, let's make sure that our degrees are touching on all of this so that we can maintain, you know, a high placement rate. The program that I'm currently enrolled in is manufacturing engineering, and over the last, I think, 8 years, they've had 100% placement.
Yeah, Stout and technical colleges, the Stout has got a unique model on the four-year degree process. Brian Downer, what are your thoughts on what Tim is saying?
Well, very definitely, it's important that all the educational programs keep up with the changes in industry expectations. And part of that is most of them have advisory boards, things of that nature. I know UW-Eau Claire, just in their nursing program, just did a major outreach initiative that was looking at some of the changing needs in the healthcare industry and in nursing. And so that's going across. He cited one example, which may not be bring up to date, but very definitely, I think one thing about this region, we're fortunate to have quality educational institutions, PK through 12, tech college, and the two universities in our market. And for the most part, they do an excellent job. Now we just have to make sure that we're truly aligning and keeping them up to date on the technology. The great thing is we have that program here. Now we just have to make a minor modification to make it truly world class.
Yep, and the communication, I think, is what you're talking
exactly.
to, and we'll get into that in just a bit. Tim, thanks so much for the call. Good point. And other listeners, if you'd like to jump in on the conversation, we're talking about regional skills gap and ways to combat it. There's a study out right now that a bunch of partners came together and created this study with four real key findings and then five recommendations and action plans, and we'll get into it just a bit. The number is 1-800-228-5615 to call in with your question or comment on the West Side. So I guess my question before we get into the meat of it is, we've already got some studies that have been cited at the state level anyway that, okay, there's a skills gap. And what we don't have to get into is that there's another study that says there isn't. But anyway, we've got these state approaches. Why do we need a regional approach? Brian Downer.
And I would just say the main reason is ours is an action plan. We're not debating the merits of either or any of the studies at state level. What we're trying to say is, okay, to align our educational institutions and to align our labor supply to the in-demand careers that are 5-10 years out, we need to do a better job of communicating and are developing and implementing an action strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Again, debating is for the state and national level, and that's where the politics can occur. Ours is about trying to truly get solutions to area residents and to educational and workforce development partners to make sure that employers can grow here and grow our economy, and thus hopefully increase wages and increase the overall pie of our marketplace.
Now, Scott, you work for an agency that kind of tracks this sort of thing, and why do we need a local approach to this issue when the state has all kinds of resources going into this same field?
Sure. The state does have a lot of resources going into this, and I think that's great. The reason why I would say that we should have a local initiative as well is that these two things would complement each other rather than it being one or the other. And while the data at the state level is great and everything and all those initiatives are great, we also need to sort of take a hand in taking care of our own issues here too, because us, in this region, we're the ones who know what's, what we need and what we need to align things to. So even though the skills gap is a statewide, nationwide type of issue, at its heart, everywhere, it's a local issue.
All right. Well, with that, let's take our first break so we can get into the actual key findings of this study. We are talking about a study called Narrowing the Skills Gap, a Regional Workforce Initiative. And we've got Brian Doudna of the Eau Claire Economic Development Corporation on the program, Scott Hodek of Department of Workforce Development, and Patty Chambers. She's a member of the Chippewa Valley Society for Human Resources Management. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back in about a minute. This is The West Side. I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in this morning. We're talking about a study called Narrowing the Skills Gap, a Regional Workforce Initiative. It is a multi-stakeholder study that looks to find some key found some key findings about the skills gap in western Wisconsin and a list of action plans and possible fixes. The number to call in with your questions or comments for our guests is 800-228-5615. Our guests are Patty Chambers. She is a member of the Chippewa Valley Society for Human Resources Management. Scott Hodek is a regional economist for the State Department of Workforce Development. And Brian Doudna is executive director for the Eau Claire Area Economic Development Corporation. Again, number is 1-800-228-5615. So I guess the first key finding is that, and I'm going to go to Patty for this one, individuals entering the workforce do not necessarily possess the critical skills. And you spoke about those a little bit before. It was broken down, I believe, in the study, core skills and employability. So, I mean, what are you hearing from your members in your association?
It just varies across the board. I can speak to my own experience as well.
Okay.
You know, there's always, if somebody can come in with a strong application and just basically just the basics, there aren't any typos on the application. You know, they're referencing the correct names of previous places that they worked, or just being clear in that way and not having any areas where maybe it looks like somebody applying for a job just either they didn't take enough time to be careful, or maybe they really don't have strong grammar and spelling skills. Maybe they need to take somewhat what we would say maybe a simple math test for certain positions, and they're not able to show that they really have mastery of that, where you would think that they might have those basic skills already and just coming in and applying for certain positions.
Hmm.
But then there's also more to it than that. As you look at candidates for positions, you also need to recognize that you might have somebody there who has strong overall attitude, they're positive, they have strong dependability that you can see in their past places that they've worked through reference checking, whatever you're looking at there. And they bring those other basic skills, but they might not have something specific to the job that you're hiring for. Now, it varies, because we might have a position where we can on-the-job train somebody who brings at least those basic skills. But then again, you might have a job where somebody has to have some previous experience before they are able to be hired into a position.
Hmm.
But overall, if they can cover the basic skills, have some competencies covered there, and they're professional in their demeanor. They know how to speak to people. They know how to provide positive and strong, you know, customer service. Maybe they can problem solve really well. You know, there's a whole lot that goes into this, and it really depends on the type of position somebody's looking for. But if they've got those basic skills,
right,
and some of it can be taught, you know, we recognize that people aren't always going to be applying for positions and just have all the bases covered all of the time. That's mm-hmm. just
But there
really,
are some definitely some
not
basics.
Expect of people. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I got to ask, I'm just curious, is it happen very often that a person is misspelling things or not even listing the right things? I mean, is that pretty common?
It is, unfortunately. Hmm. It just depends on the volume, you know, that an employer might be receiving for applications.
Sure.
Or somebody who's contacting or sending an email. And there's a lot of mechanisms in place in the Chippewa Valley area to help address those things.
Mm-hmm.
Chippewa Valley SHRM, the Society for HR Management, does offer it's a prep to get hired program where they just, you know, get some professionals together and people can sign up and come in and have their resumes critiqued.
Mm-hmm.
They can do some mock interviewing and get critiqued on how they interviewed. They can get that feedback right there, real time, and it doesn't mean anything as far as whether or not they're going to get that job right there. It's practice.
Right. Very cool.
And, you know, there's also, I know through the Job Center of Wisconsin, there's a lot of group seminars that are offered. And Scott or Brian, you might want to jump in on this, but Dunn County Job Center, Barron County, Eau Claire County, interviewing skills, skills employers are looking for, networking, resume development. So there are a lot of support systems in place. We just need to communicate better. And we, meaning employers, educators, you know, the job centers, whatever, we mm-hmm. just need to somehow have more cohesive communication and get that out in front of people.
I want to go in chronological order. That communication is a big point that I do want to touch on. Scott, did you want to follow up on what Patty said at all?
Yeah, I would just say that the job centers really are a terrific resource, and they can give you help, you know, every step of the job search process,
sure.
right up to interviewing. So, but I think, you know, like she was saying, it maybe isn't all that well known. And
mm-hmm.
if you're out there looking for a job, I would encourage you to stop in at your local job center.
And I'm going to stick with you, Scott. Key finding number two, local labor market information and trends are not easily accessible to consumers of education. So what does that mean? I mean, your department has got data, more data than anyone could ever want.
Well, I want more.
Okay. Well, with that said, I mean, there's just gobs of data there. And what is lacking? I mean, how could we not have enough information and that not be readily accessible here in the Chippewa Valley?
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, what I would say is we do have a ton of data, and it's really great. And with all the new initiatives coming at the statewide level, we have some really awesome tools coming out, too. There's one on Job Center Wisconsin, that website, in fact. It's called the Skills Explorer, and you can put in a certain skill and find out what occupations match that you maybe didn't think about. I mean, there's some really cool stuff coming out there. But that, you know, that can only take us so far at the local level because, like I said, when it comes down to it, when we're really trying to figure out what occupations here, you know, what jobs are, what we're having trouble filling, what skills we need right here, that's where the data tends to fall short. And it's not really it's not really an issue with the data itself. It's just it can't be collected at this local level, you
mm-hmm.
know, in its current form, which is why it falls to us to take that last step and actually collect the data here and find out, okay, so what occupations do we really need to train for? You know, 2 years down the road, 4 years down the road, in that training window that we have. So I could say, yeah, we can look at the state data and the regional data and say by proxy, oh, well, we're pretty sure this occupation is one that we need to train for. But with this, you know, with the survey that we're planning on doing as part of this recommendation, then we can say, okay, here's what we actually need.
So what are we talking about, creating our own regional version of what the state already does, basically?
Yeah, to an extent. The survey will be basically designed around our needs and what we see as the needs of the educational community and the consumers of this data. But yeah, we're looking at implementing this survey in the second quarter of 2014, and hopefully then we'll get some actionable data on exactly what we need to be doing here.
And is it going to be more, I think it mentioned in there, more timely or something like that? Are you going to be collecting it, what, every year or every 6 months? Or how does that, or is that?
We're actually talking about every year, but I think we're initially looking at like a 3-year period here. But
sure. Whereas the state does what?
We collect data on different things, different ways. We get some occupational data every year, but it's always going to be a year behind just because of the way it's collected and the amount of time it takes to sift through it. You know, the bigger a survey is, the more data comes in and the longer it takes to make that actionable. Whereas this, we'd be getting this every year. And generally, you know, we look at our projections. Those are done every couple of years, you know, and those are projected out into the future. And this would be not even really a projection. This would be the businesses saying, here's what we plan to do. So this is really timely and really actionable. So it'd be a great source of data.
Key finding number 3, Brian Dowden, communication, coordination of information, outreach efforts not aligned to effectively address the skills gap. Communication, what kind of communication between what entities are we talking? And what would be, why is there such a challenge there?
Well, one of the things that we did, we actually did process maps for workforce development agencies when they have a client looking for a job. What's the process they go through to actually try to place that person in a position? Mm-hmm. We did that also with the school districts when they have a student looking at an internship or apprenticeship program. What's the process? We identified key barriers, and you always hear you have to do more with less, and well, with budgets the way it is, we've done that for many years. But the actual process of placing people in employment opportunities is becoming a challenge just because there's not enough time in people's current occupations that have that role mm-hmm. to actually do the outreach to employers. So the breakdown comes in, we have a supply looking at trying to get into the occupation or an internship, and the interface going to the employer is having barriers, communication barriers, because for them to reach out to employers, there's changes in HR representatives. So,
and it does go the other way too, Brian. I mean,
go ahead.
On the employer side, you know, making our time available to reach out to those are the educational institutions that have these internships available, or maybe they have students that are calling and they want to come and job shadow for a week or something. So, you know, on the employer side, too, we need, some of us probably don't have the availability to reach backwards that way either.
Yeah. So we're really looking at all segments have an interest in trying to address their employment needs. But it's the connections, the relationships that are really the long-term challenge of how do you maintain relationships over a period of years and make sure that they're cost-effective and managed well.
All right. And Patty, I'll go to you, and if I'm headed up, barking up the wrong tree, just let me know. But number 4, key finding, targeted resources are needed to support efforts to narrow this skills gap. And targeted resources, I saw something referred to as mini grants and et cetera. Could you explain that one for us?
There are some mini grants that are going to be available, and I learned of that at the kickoff luncheon that we had.
And Patty, let me...
That Reggie Newsom, in, please.
Brian is champing at the bit here, so...
Targeted resources, really talking about... we have a lot of dollars going in at the state level, but all the recommendations that in our report are all going to be funded locally.
Oh.
And that these are targeted resources that we hope to leverage state and federal resources, mm-hmm. but we have to do some of this on our own. And to drive the local solutions so we're not tied to a grant, we're not tied to stipulations at the federal or state level. We're dealing with local issues and making sure we're coming up with local recommendations and action strategies.
And why is it important to not be tied to these grants or these federal or state whatever?
Basically, flexibility. Okay. We want to make sure that we're flexible to truly understand the needs of our employers and the agencies, and that we're not coming up with a solution that is not needed. If we don't raise things locally, the voice of the customer is typically, if they're willing to fund it, they're in support and will drive that solution. So it's stakeholder buy-in.
I want to talk about some of the data that went into this this study. How did you gather the information? And I'll go to you, Brian, to get to these key findings.
We had over focus groups with over 30 businesses. 175 people participated in this process.
Mm-hmm.
Over 20 organizations participated. So, and that's agencies, businesses, etc. Unfortunately, our labor study did not, our labor analysis did not come in with a valid data that could be validated.
That was a survey or something?
Correct. And it was over to 400 some businesses. Based on all the conversations and I will say with each of these recommendations, we sat down with educational partners, the workforce agencies, the businesses, the HR society, before we put this report out.
Mm-hmm.
So that we have leadership within each of those entities buying into, yes, this is a challenge, and that we need to work together to try to address it.
Now, in the literature in the study, it mentioned that due to the low response rate, that was a problem. But you've got this strong, united anecdotal evidence. Anecdotal, I mean, does that hurt the effort at all? That it was just anecdotal?
Yeah. No. I mean, ideally, I always look at data just like Scott's more of a data guru than I.
Yeah, he is.
But anecdotal is not the best data. And mm-hmm. However, I will just say that the steering committee, again, from that 25 people from different sectors, really broke down some of the barriers that were identified. And by looking at the processes that people go through for placement and the challenges they were having, I think we have the ability to truly impact solutions here.
All right. And we'll get into the recommendations real quick because this hour is burning up. A reminder to the listeners that we're talking about a regional skills gap as cited by a study called Narrowing the Skills Gap, a Regional Workforce Initiative. It's in partnership with the Department of Workforce Development, Chippewa Valley Society for Human Resources Management, the Eau Claire Area Economic Development Corporation, and a long list of other partners. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. Again, I'll put out the call to folks that if you're an employer and you've been struggling to fill some jobs, give us a call. We'd like to hear your story. Or if you're on the other side of it, and have been frustrated trying to find work or in a specific career, give us a call and let us know. 1-800-228-5615. Recommendation one, and we already talked about this. Scott, I think you're the go-to guy here. Gather timely local labor market information. So what would this local labor market information system look like? What are we going to – surveys?
Yeah, sure. It would be a survey. You know, as Brian mentioned, the last one, it didn't work out as well. Just we were probably a little too aggressive and it took a little too much time. And so it wasn't, you know, it's a case of there's a ton of anecdotal information out there. And I wouldn't say anecdotal information is useless.
No.
Now, as someone who works with data a lot, yeah, I can say obviously it doesn't, you know, provide the hard evidence we're looking for. But enough circumstantial evidence usually tells you something is going on.
Yeah, consistent. Right.
Yeah. The problem we had was our response rate. And the survey probably just took too long to complete. We've learned some lessons from that. The next survey, businesses, we promise, will be much shorter. And, you know, this is your chance to impact the process, so please take part in that. But some of the things we're looking for are just, you know, current number of employees, open positions, level of education required. But then some of the really important things, you know, are like number in the occupation that you're going to hire in, you know, over the next 2 years. Over the next 5 years, things like that, where we can really sort of tailor things to that training window. And those are the really important things that we're asking. because then from there, this entire group, which is a represents a fantastic collaboration, can come together and say, okay, here's how we can put people into these jobs.
Now that kind of leads into the next recommendation, to communicate that information. And Brian, I believe it's something about a website involved here, or am I getting ahead of myself?
You're getting ahead of yourself.
Okay.
But,
so how do we communicate this info that Scott has diligently collected?
Well, and his
group members. Sorry.
Yep, we're very definitely going to be working with the area educational institutions and the workforce agencies. However, I think the most exciting thing from my perspective is, and we're just starting to do the outreach on this, but once we gather the data and we can get occupational sales sheets, for lack of a better term. Like the caller said earlier, he's very happy with his program. But what we want to see also is what's the program, what's the potential career occupations that would be appropriate for that degree, but then also what companies hire that position locally in the region, and making sure that they truly understand the salary range and the cost of education so that they're making informed choices as a consumer of education. The last component, and this is what I'm probably most excited about, is trying to get this information into career catalogs at the high school level or in the middle school level, so that when parents are starting to have their students, their children, look at different courses to take, they can actually start seeing what are in-demand careers in the course catalog, and seeing when they drive past Nestle, they understand what type of careers you need to and degrees Nestle wants for this region.
Sure.
Or in Menominee, in the 3M markets, things of that nature. So we try to demystify the careers or occupations that are going to be in demand, because we get the data from the employers directly, and then they also see what employers hire those occupations in the region.
It sounds like we're talking about specific, maybe not totally specific, but doesn't sound like we're talking about English majors here. Like, it seems like this is more of a technical manufacturing kind of thing.
I would say you're talking more of applied skills.
Okay.
Yes. And very definitely, and I'll just, we cite in one of our, in recommendation one, First Supply, LLC, a good company in logistics and distribution here in Eau Claire. They're going to have a major transition from, they have a very well-established labor force. Majority of those individuals are going to be retiring over the next 10 years, close to 50% of their employee base. Those are problem-solving positions that are don't necessarily have applied skills, but you have to have a problem-solving, customer service focus, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are degrees such as engineering, mechanical, electrical, computer science, and now even with in the healthcare industry, medical coding. So you have to...
Very big, yeah.
Correct. That's because of the new laws and everything. You're going to have medical terminology just to be entering in some of the computer codes. And that is a nuance that you need that skill set before, but it's going to be doubly important over the next couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll go to Patty now. Educational recommendation number three. Oh, Scott. We'll go to Scott. Educational and training barriers are in the way for students. Recommendation is to reduce that. Lofty goal. How do we? What are the barriers, and how do we get rid of it?
Sure,
or get rid of them.
Well, you know, sometimes if somebody is in an educational program and they're not, maybe they have some sort of issue that causes them to drop out of that program. That's the kind of barrier that we want to address. Now, there are programs that are already in place that assist them with certain things. And we're trying to fill the gaps there to keep as many people in the education programs that we need, that we know we've got demand for those occupations, and help the people who might have one, who might be one, say, car repair or something away from falling out of that program, because if we help them stay in there, it's good for everybody. You know, it's good for the economy. It's good for the employer. It's good for that person. And this project lead here is United Way of the Greater Chippewa Valley. And they're looking at the micro grants that you'd mentioned earlier, as a way to keep people in those demand programs and get them to the point where they've finished and can get a great job.
So we're talking about, you know, some non-trad basically people that I'm seeing here, the as far as the barriers, family and stuff. I mean, how do you combat? You can't fix that for the person.
Well, right. I mean, you can't fix all of their problems. But if this non-traditional student has, you know, maybe it's the childcare issue. Maybe they can't afford childcare and they can't go to school at the same time. And you know, we can't necessarily fix all of those problems, but we can help plug that gap until they finish their education program, and then from there, they become part of the economy again, and everything gets better that way.
That leads me to wonder, like, is there, as far as the skills gap or people are kind of caught in that gap, is there a definition of who that person is or what their life situation is or anything like that, or is it just all over the place?
Yeah, see, that's part of the issue of why there's so much controversy over the skills gap in general, is that it isn't one big concept. There can be a lot of reasons why, both on the employer side and on the job seeker side, that these two aren't meeting. And that's why what I like about these recommendations is that they work together as kind of a web. You know, everyone is getting together to fix all these little problems. And that's another reason why it has to be so local, is because one region could have one reason why it's hard for someone, an employer, to fill a certain position. In another region, it could be entirely different. So that's why this problem at its heart is always local.
And moving on, the fourth recommendation, I guess this is Patty's territory as I'm being kind of directed in the studio. So Patty, recommendation number four, you got to develop a regional strategy to recruit individuals and train in certain disciplines that might not be available already. So walk us through that. What does that mean?
Well, there's a big picture here, and then it drills down as kind of been the overall flavor of what we've talked about today as far as state and down into, you know, our Chippewa Valley, western Wisconsin area.
Mm-hmm.
And the caller earlier was talking about ArcGIS, and we had particular experience with that at my former employer as far as really starting to need some geographic information systems expertise. And that was a rather hard skill set to find if you didn't develop it on the job. As far as we'd have to go outside of our educational area here into Minnesota, down toward Milwaukee area to really tap into where those people are getting that education and trying to recruit them to come and work in to satisfy our current needs here. So this recommendation four is really what we talked about is developing a brand in western Wisconsin and having local employers work together to support what they're looking for to fill these positions. And engineering, of course, was something that was mentioned earlier, but more electrical engineering focus, chemical engineering focus, because we don't offer those types of degree programs right here in our area. That is something where we can, you know, work with our local educators to start to develop some of these curriculums. So we aren't recruiting from out of state or way far across the state or, you know, nationally to fill some of the positions that are needed.
So instead of having individual business, create a regional front. Why, Brian, can you play off of that? Why is that so important?
It's important because if you're a talent looking at locating in the marketplace, they have to have some assurance or some comfort level that if they're locating in the Chippewa Valley, that there is, if that one position doesn't work out, that they have another place to land. So it's truly, we're a small market in the global economy. It's truly to everyone's benefit if we build the brand of saying beyond Nestle, Presto, Xcel Energy, all those companies, 3M, and all the smaller companies that hire engineering talent, that they start understanding that, you know what, we have a pretty diverse and strong economy in the Chippewa Valley, and that if I locate there, I'm going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have a career of choice and a lifestyle of choice. And that is the unique selling factor that the Chippewa Valley has. You truly can have a very great career in a lifestyle that many people would desire.
Isn't that what your job is? And are you not doing a good enough job at that?
Oh, we're about growing companies and building companies.
Okay.
Specifically, talent is actually, we've asked Momentum West to deal with, and that's our regional economic development group, we've asked them to take this on because as a county EDC, Chippewa, Dunn, and Eau Claire, we work with our local employers. We identify and hear them saying we need this type of talent. But us going out as a region and trying to build a regional brand and go to, and I'll just say for engineering talent, we typically have the greatest success in this market at Michigan Tech in Platteville.
Hmm.
Similar lifestyles, and they're not going to the major metros. Trying to recruit from UW-Madison and University of Minnesota is more of a challenge just because that's the engineering schools that you get some Fortune 500 companies going to,
yeah,
et cetera. So we're not trying to minimize the opportunities of our area residents, but we also want to make sure that we're building the pipeline for talent to grow our companies.
Let's take our final break before we get into recommendation number 5 and the website that I already stumbled into. And I think that's a really neat thing, and it'll be interesting to see how that comes together. But we're talking about a study called Narrowing the Skills Gap, a Regional Workforce Initiative, and talking about regional skills gap in general. The guests on the program today, Brian Dowden, Executive Director of the Eau Claire Area Economic Development Corporation, Patty Chambers of the Chippewa Valley Society for Human Resources Management, and Scott Hodek of the Department of Workforce Development. We'll be back in just a bit. You're listening to The West Side. I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for tuning in this Monday morning. We're talking about a regional skills gap here in western Wisconsin with Brian Dowden of the Eau Claire Area Economic Development Corporation, Scott Hodek of the Department of Workforce Development, and Patty Chambers of the Chippewa Valley Society for Human Resources Management. We've probably got time to take one more call if you want. Give us a call at 800-228-5615. Let us know or ask a question of what you think about this this idea of a regional skills gap and some of the possible fixes to address it. 800-228-5615. Recommendation number 5 of this study basically wraps it up, and it addresses, it says, address outreach barriers impacting placement of students, et cetera, and adults in career exploration and work experiences. So this is that website thing, and I think this is pretty interesting. It's a interesting concept, but it's going to cost some money, and it's going to require some maintenance. Brian Dona, tell us about this regional website that you guys are looking to or suggesting is created.
Well, actually, we are already looking at a website that provides this type of solution. But truly, what we're trying to address is the barriers that employers and the talent have in job shadowing or placement process. So there is a website we're reviewing that would allow employers to say, hey, we have an internship available. They go online, they fill out the report, and then the EDCs in Chippewa, Dunn, and Eau Claire County have agreed hopefully to fund this, but the school districts in our counties would be able to share that lead, that opportunity, with their school-to-work coordinator and their students.
Hmm.
And then the students can actually apply. It goes to the school-to-work coordinators to say, yes, this is a viable opportunity. And then the connection is made between the employer and the student is actually applying. And this can also hopefully be done with the workforce development agencies. The key thing is, we have to have consistent relationship and flow of information. Updating the contacts on the employer side is vital, and the website does a pretty good job of that. So what we're trying to do is take the barriers out in those process maps and make it easy and use technology to implement a solution.
So that would require a lot of participation and updating. And based, and it's probably a foolish parallel to draw here, but the participation with the surveys fairly low, and businesses got their own things going on. But is that a challenge? I mean, what kind of a challenge would that be?
Well, the key thing is we have the Chippewa Valley SHRM organization hopefully supporting this. I meet with them next week.
Mm-hmm.
But this is about filling a position that they have vacant, different than a survey.
Sure.
This is filling a
need.
They
need that.
And we're going to give them a solution.
Right. All right. Well, unfortunately, that is about our time. I want to thank my guests for their time. That includes Patty Chambers, Brian Dowden, and Scott Hodek. Thank you so very much for being part of this program. I really appreciate it. Also, a big thanks to Team Westside, including Mort Cypress, for handling on-air production, Henry Lippold for producing this program, Rachel Vick for promotions, and Tiffany Coggins and Dean Kallenbeck for keeping the ducks in a row. Tune in next week for our fall hunting edition of the Westside Outside, with Joe Knight of the Eau Claire Leader Telegram and Dave Carlson of Northland Adventures, commonly referred to as the Outdoor Guys. Until then, have a safe and productive week. We'll chat again next Monday morning. Thanks for listening.